BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day on Crosstalk today. Thanks so much for joining us here on the VCY America Network. There is so much news. There's a lot happening internationally. There's a lot happening domestically. And I looked through the stories. I said we could have a full day just on a news roundup international, news roundup domestic, because there is that much that's taking place. And so we're going to delve into the stories here today, and we thank Sandy for putting so many things together here, so many stories and matters, topics for us today. We've got Cheryl on the phone lines today, and also we've got Dennis all sitting in the control room. So our team and many working behind the scenes today, we're so appreciative of them. Well, let's get right into the news today. And friends, I believe today's program ought to burden our hearts to be in greater prayer than ever for our nation and be greater witnesses for the Lord Jesus in times just like these. I'd like to begin off today, though, with a very, very positive story and really to set the mindset of where we need to go as a nation. This is from CBN News. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has signed a proclamation declaring today, September 30th, as a day of prayer, humility, and fasting in the volunteer state. That's right, the state of Tennessee, a day of prayer, humility, and fasting. When is the last time we've seen this happen? The full text of the proclamation reads, "Whereas we acknowledge God's sovereignty and the need for God's grace over our state and our nation, and whereas we walk humbly together with God in hope so that we may act with justice, kindness, and love no matter the circumstance, and whereas we seek forgiveness for our many transgressions so that our hearts and our minds may be renewed, and whereas Scripture tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the Lord gives wisdom freely to those who ask for it, and whereas the people of Tennessee acknowledge our rich blessings, our deep transgressions, the complex challenges ahead, and the need to pause, to humble ourselves, and to seek God's guidance for the days ahead, now therefore, I, Bill Lee, Governor of the State of Tennessee, do hereby proclaim September 30th, 2022, as a voluntary day of prayer, humility, and fasting in Tennessee, and encourage all citizens to join me in this worthy observance." The proclamation was signed by both Governor Lee and the Tennessee Secretary of State, Trey Hargert, and find it very interesting. Of course, the Freedom from Religion Foundation has just been knocked off their rocker. I mean, they're reminding the governor that he was elected to carry out civil and secular duties, not to speak for the people of Tennessee on personal religious matters, is calling his religious proclamation un-American, saying that the framers of America's godless and entirely secular constitution invested sovereignty not in a divinity, but in we the people. And they say, please rescind this misguided and erroneous proclamation and refrain from signing similar proclamations in the future. Well, Todd Starnes covered this article, this topic, I should say, and reminded us that President John Adams once declared that our Constitution is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. Starnes said, if you take God out of the Constitution, you introduce chaos into the culture. And isn't that what we're seeing, folks? He also said, one nation under God, not man. The atheists would do well to remember that. So, those of you, especially in the state of Tennessee, would you reach out to your governor's office thanking him for the proclamation that he issued for the state of Tennessee? Let's go to another important story here today, and that is the impact of the hurricane, the southwest coast of Florida. This coming also from CBN, southwest coast of Florida is forever transformed by Hurricane Ian's devastating winds and historic storm surge. Governor Ron DeSantis describing it as a 500-year flood event across the swath of Florida. As of this morning, state officials said 21 people are believed to have been killed in the storm, and search and rescue efforts are ongoing. And Hurricane Ian isn't finished. The still dangerous Category 1 storm regained power and made a second strike on the U.S., taking aim at South Carolina, which has entered the shores as we speak. And very interesting that Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar was on Morning Joe Tuesday, and indicating that voting Democrat can help stop climate change and hurricane disasters. Here's an excerpt from what she had to say.
Push these bills through. And so I think so many times people counted us out, but we want to make clear we've got the backs of the American people. And while we have clear disagreements, we don't want, if the Republicans take charge, a number of them have been talking about an abortion ban. You guys know that. You featured on the show. That's why we've got to win this midterm. We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this as that hurricane bears down on Florida. We got to win in the midterms. We understand that, but none of that has stopped us from deciding we're going to put our differences aside and get some things done. That is what that vote is today in the Rules Committee, where you're going to see a strong bipartisan support, a very good hearing for changes to the Electoral Count Act.
Yes, Senator Klobuchar on Morning Joe suggesting the only way to stop hurricane disasters to vote Democrat. Well, just the news tells us that the Nord Stream pipeline running from Russia to Germany was sabotaged Wednesday, resulting in three leaks. Former chief of staff to the National Security Council, Fred Flights, believes Russia was the culprit. Well, seismic monitors in Sweden said Tuesday that they had detected two explosions under the Baltic Sea a day earlier, and operators of the key Russian to Europe natural gas pipelines reported to gas leaks leading to significant pressure drops, reports CNSnews.com. The Swedish National Seismic Network reported that Monday's explosions near a Danish island in the Baltic Sea and within Danish and Swedish maritime zones were the equivalent of 1.8 and 2.3 magnitude earthquakes, respectively. The Nord Stream AG consortium said in a brief update that the significant pressure drop caused by the gas leak on both lines of the gas pipeline registered on Monday leads to strong assumption the pipeline physical damage. It's very interesting indeed. The Nord Stream 1 is the most important pipeline carrying gas from Russia to Western Europe, has already been affected by maintenance and other restrictions and stoppages linked to the rift between Moscow and Europe over the war in Ukraine. And Nord Stream 2 was the ambitious project designed to double the amount of Russian gas being piped to Germany and Western Europe. It was completed in late 21, but suspended indefinitely by the German government in response to Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Well, you've got U.S. sources pointing their fingers at Russia, but as Tucker Carlson pointed out, the Biden administration may have been the ones to blow up the gas lines in the Baltic Sea. And quoted back to President Biden in a statement that he made this past February. Let's listen to what President Biden said at that time.
Let me answer the first question first. If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
Very interesting comment there. I'm promising you we'll be able to do it. And Tucker Carlson pointed that out. And there are those speaking against him for airing this clip and even suggesting that the Biden administration was somehow engaged with this. We'll eventually, I believe, find out what the truth is in all of this. But you've got those within his administration now, or intelligence experts and so forth, taking aim at Tucker Carlson for claiming that President Biden ordered the U.S. military to blow up the pipelines. I wonder what he meant, though, by those comments this past February. Also coming from the Daily Caller, the CIA warned Germany of possible attacks on the twin Nord Stream pipelines weeks ago, Reuters reported on Tuesday. Well, PJ Media reporting that former President Trump, in a pair of statements early Wednesday morning via his Truth Social platform, addressed the seriousness of the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines, warning that such an act could be sufficient to trigger World War III. We don't have time to go through his tweets there, but he really made a pitch to President Biden and the U.S. leadership to give him a chance to employ negotiating tactics and skills to head off a possible significant escalation between Russia, Ukraine, and the United States. From Just the News, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow Wednesday started urging Americans with a dual U.S.-Russian citizenship leave Russia or risk being forced into Russia's escalating war on Ukraine. Russia may refuse to acknowledge dual nationals' U.S. citizenship, deny their access to U.S. consular assistance, prevent their departure from Russia, and conscript dual nationals for military service, the embassy said in a security alert. Warning follows President Putin's last week ordering about 300,000 men registered in the Russian military being drafted to help in the roughly seven-month-long war in Russia. But U.S. Embassy warning to get out. Fox News is also reporting that Vladimir Putin Friday, that would be today, signed an order that will officially, in Russia's view, annex, again, in Russia's view, annex four Ukrainian regions under the rule of the Russian Federation. The signing was held at the Kremlin Palace in Moscow just days after a referenda concluded, which many has seen as being a sham. Putin vowed that Russia will now use all available means to guard the annexed territory in Ukraine and suggested that Moscow could not use any attack in the war-torn region where fighting has raged since February to further escalate its aggressive tactics. Folks, there is so much that is unfolding, not just there, but also coming to us from the Gatestone Institute. Russia's began to expand its influence in Latin America, especially since Putin's decision to invade Ukraine and Russia's subsequent international isolation. Its way of enlarging its influence in Latin America is comparable to its tactics in Africa, where it has primarily sought influence through arms deals, the use of its mercenaries, or election interference and disinformation. While Russia's engagement in Latin America is not comparable in volume to that of China, Russia has in recent years, nonetheless, been significantly deepening its influence in Latin America. Places like Cuba and Nicaragua, also hailing back to the Cold War and with Venezuela. But now it is forging new and stronger relationships with countries that were traditionally oriented toward the U.S., countries like Brazil and Argentina. Putin, just before he invaded Ukraine, met with the presidents of both Brazil and Argentina while signing a security cooperation agreement with Venezuela. Well, friends, another story here, this one from Red State. The U.S. Army's first transgender officer, of the U.S. Army has been indicted for attempting to pass medical information to the Russians in a bid to aid Vladimir Putin's campaign in Ukraine. A grand jury came to the conclusion that Jamie Lee Harvey, who is a major in the Army and transgender, and his wife, Anna Gabrielian, committed conspiracy and illegally disclosed individually identifiable health information. The indictment was unsealed yesterday after the two were arrested. Now, I see all kinds of promotion from groups like HRC, Human Rights Campaign, and other pro-homosexual writings and blogs and so forth. I just wonder if they're going to be covering this issue. Tell you what, we're up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. There's more things happening internationally as well, and we'll cover a number of domestic matters here. This is a news roundup on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has life been found on meteorites?
No, it hasn't, Chris, even though this fairy tale is continually repeated by my evolutionary colleagues. Microscopic studies of certain meteorites has led them to claim that they have seen hints of past microbial life. But other scientists have studied the same samples and are absolutely convinced that these are really just inorganic crystals or compounds. It's hard to overcome some of these stories once they hit the mainstream press and are repeated over and over again. But the fact is, life has not been found anywhere but on planet Earth, and it's here in abundance, just like we would expect from the Back to Genesis truth of creation.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Last week, we had the privilege of interviewing Dr. Erwin Lutz here on Crosstalk. He wrote the book, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. And we mentioned at that time that September 30th was the deadline to get that book at 58% off from the VCY bookstore. And I just want to mention today is September 30th, today being the final day that you can obtain that book at that discounted price, 58% off. $7.98. You can reach out to the bookstore today, vcy.com, the website vcy.com, or get on the phone, 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. Today, the final day for that significant discount through that interview that we had here on Crosstalk. Well, the Washington Times is reporting that Iran's protests show no signs of slowing. Anger at morality police is mounting. One person not wearing their hijab just right, and many, many days of protests. There have been deaths that have been going on in regard to this, and much unrest taking place in Iran. Let's go to North Korea. The White House has scrubbed Kamala Harris's North Korean gaffe from the official transcript. But the video does live on. She took to the global stage. This is the most heavily fortified border in the world. Vice President Kamala Harris, and I'm looking at an article from Western Journal, committed a slip of the tongue that would have gotten her mauled by the mainstream media if she had an R after her name instead of a D. Her flub is being largely ignored by the mainstream media, covered up by the White House. But standing at the demilitarized zone that separates North and South Korea, two nations still technically at war since a 1953 armistice ended 3 years of combat, but the vice president of the United States declared her country in an alliance with the completely wrong side. Quoting, she said, "The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea," she said. "It's an alliance," she said, "that is strong and enduring." Wow. Had Donald Trump said that, or his vice president, Mike Pence, at that time, do you think that would be making front page news? Let's also looking at Newsmax.com. North Korea fired two ballistic missiles yesterday, just hours after Vice President Harris left South Korea, where she had toured the heavily fortified demilitarized zone. The Thursday launch is the third in 5 days, continued the nuclear-armed country's record-breaking blitz of weapon tests this year. Well, friends, as you know, the deep state could not stand Donald Trump as president, nor are they tolerating the Italian prime minister who has just been voted in. This is an amazing clip here. Italy just clinched a historic benchmark as they voted in their first female prime minister, Giorgia Meloni, called a far-right candidate. Her Brothers of Italy party scored a resounding victory in the recent election. This right-wing bloc comes after years of political turmoil that has seen one government replaced by another within a few months. Well, newsbusters captured the liberal media going apocalyptic since her campaign was grounded on God, country, and family. So, of course, the left's mind melted into oblivion that some politicians would run on a national messaging campaign. That makes rather total sense because she is there promoting God, country, and family. God, country, and family. And when you listen to this barrage of media clips, it's pretty amazing. Let's listen in.
Voters in Italy tomorrow appear poised to make a hard right turn. The woman expected to become prime minister leads a party with roots in neo-fascism.
The hallmarks of Italian fascism, like this motto, God, fatherland, and family.
A far-right political party whose roots go back to post-World War II neo-fascists.
Roots in Italy's post-war fascist movement.
Roots in Italy's 20th century neo-fascist movement.
Meloni herself was a hardcore neo-fascist militant.
It's stunning because of Italy's disastrous history, the last time a hard-right party rose to power.
The most far-right government in that country since Mussolini.
Most right-wing government since Mussolini.
A red flag if there ever was one, says Edith Brooke, a renowned poet and Holocaust survivor.
Italy about to see the country's most right-wing government since World War II.
Most far-right.
Far-right.
Government since World War II.
Since the end of World War II.
Meloni's win will probably send alarm bells throughout Europe.
You know, it's alarming to a lot of people around Europe.
Italy is revered for its history, but not all of that history is beautiful, and many fear that one particularly ugly chapter could soon repeat itself.
Yeah, folks, it's amazing. You hear that barrage of clips from the liberal media? Her message of God, country, and family. Far right, neo-fascist, hard right, hardcore, most far right, you know, since Mussolini, you know, it's just amazing the meltdown that is taking place. But friends, I want you to also understand what is happening within here. I mean, we heard the intolerance toward Donald Trump, who put the United States before the UN, put the U.S. before the UN, and the deep state could not handle that. And now, just recently, the Texas Tribune has a video here of evidently, I believe it's an interview with former First Lady Hillary Clinton, who has compared the rallies held by former President Donald Trump to rallies once held by Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler. This was at the Texas Tribune Festival last Friday. And let's hear what Hillary had to say.
I remember as a young student, you know, trying to figure out how did people get basically drawn in by Hitler? How did that happen? And I'd watch newsreels and I'd see this guy standing up there ranting and raving and people shouting and raising their arms. I thought, what's happened to these people? Why did they believe that? You saw the rally in Ohio the other night. Trump is there ranting and raving for more than an hour, and you have these rows of young men with their arms raised.
You know,
I remember as a...
Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. Comparing those who have come out to hear former President Trump, their arms raised, she said, comparing it to Adolf Hitler. You know, there's another world leader, too, that has been making, you know, government knows best. This is the New Zealand Prime Minister, Ardern. And she addressed, this is Jacinda Ardern, she addressed the UN General Assembly. She's the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and she warned about disinformation, going so far as arguing that it should be regulated like guns and bombs and nuclear weapons. Here's what she talked just recently before the UN General Assembly. Let me do that again here.
But we'll also be an advocate to address the weapons that are new. After all, the face of war has changed. And with that, the weapons used. The tools used to challenge the statehood of others are hidden and more complex. Traditional combat, espionage, and the threat of nuclear weapons are now accompanied by cyber attacks, prolific disinformation, and manipulation of whole communities and societies. Now, as leaders, we have never treated the weapons of old in the same way as those that have emerged. And that's understandable. After all, a bullet takes a life. A bomb takes out a whole village. A lie online or from a podium does not. But what if that lie, told repeatedly and across many platforms, prompts, inspires, or motivates others to take up arms, to threaten the security of others, to turn a blind eye to atrocities, or worse, to become complicit in them? What then? This is no longer a hypothetical. The weapons of war have changed, They are upon us and require the same level of action and activity that we put into the weapons of old.
Isn't that amazing? The weapons of war and putting disinformation. Now, she would consider programs like Crosstalk to be disinformation, but this is nothing new for her in New Zealand, because she before, even as battling COVID, said, we are going to be the single source of information. Let me just replay this clip from some time ago when she had a press conference.
The most up-to-date information daily. You can trust us as a source of that information. You can also trust the Director General of Health and the Ministry of Health. For that information, do feel free to visit at any time to clarify any rumour you may hear, covid19.govt.nz. Otherwise, dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your single source of truth. We will provide information frequently. We will share everything we can, everything you else you see, a grain of salt. And so I really ask people to focus on
that. The most egregious example of that appears to be this text, which originated in Malaysia and has become a viral hoax in Australia and in New Zealand. How irresponsible is it, the people that are sharing that news of a lockdown imminent in New Zealand?
Yeah, and look, that's the kind of thing that adds to the anxiety that people feel. So I continue to share the message. New Zealanders must prepare, but do not panic. Prepare. And when you see those messages, remember that unless you hear it from us, it is not the truth. And I really ask people, just visit covid19.govt.nz. It has all of the up-to-date information, and we will continue to provide everything you need to know.
Unless you hear it from us, it is not the truth. Unless you hear it from us, this government office here, it is not the truth. And so anything else, I guess, would be disinformation. So anything else could be viewed as the same as weapons of war. Do you understand where this is going, ladies and gentlemen? We've seen what big tech has been doing and shutting down websites and the free flow of information. We see what social media has done in that regard, or you know, devalue certain entities like WND.com and others. Interesting matter going on. Let's get to another topic here quick. This is from the Family Research Council Action, FRC Action. HHS has issued a proposed rule to reinsert pro-abortion and LGBT ideology into health care. The change was first made under the Obama administration, was undone by the Trump administration, and now being reintroduced under Biden. In a nutshell, this rule would consider the terms termination of pregnancy, sexual orientation, and gender identity to be included under the definition for discrimination on the basis of sex. Since very similar to what we saw just recently with the Title IX, is it not? The period for public comment on this rule ends on October 3. In order to help ensure that the bad regulation is rejected, HHS needs to hear from you today, says FRC Action. The rule would require doctors and health insurers to perform or cover abortions. Further, it would make it harder for doctors to properly diagnose and treat patients, particularly those who identify as transgender. And thirdly, they report it would require doctors and health insurers to perform, administer, or cover gender transition procedures, like puberty-blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries, including for minors. You can check out more at go to frcaction.org. Also, Family Policy Alliance announcing last night, Governor Newsom of California signed into law SB 107 that allows California to take custody of children from around the nation in order to perform gender transition procedures on them, even against their parents' will. All they've got to do is enter past the border of the state of California. And goodbye, parents. California will take over. Back in just a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Erwin Lutzer has authored the books The Church in Babylon and We Will Not Be Silenced, and now the brand new book No Reason to Hide, which is 58% off this month at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. We live in an evil culture, but this book is not written to reclaim the culture, but to reclaim the church and its authority to stand for righteousness in the midst of a collapsing culture. Each chapter ends with a hero we can celebrate and an action step we can take. If you don't want to create a stir, kind of live and let live, then you don't need to read this book. But for the rest of us, Dr. Lutzer's new book, No Reason to Hide, is 58% off through September 30th, only at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. Order now by calling 888-722-4829 or by shopping online at vcy.com. The number again is 888-722-4829, and our website is vcy.com.
It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. We've got a ton of more stories to pass along your way. We thank you for tuning in. And folks, take time to thank your local station for carrying Crosstalk and keeping you informed on critical issues. We're going to pick up our news roundup here today from LifeSiteNews.com and its latest vindication of conservative concerns about the legal precedent set forth by the forced recognition of same-sex marriage. A New York judge now has ruled that polyamorous relationships are entitled to the same legal protections as two-person unions. Folks, we were warned this was going to happen. Once you change the definition of marriage, the sky is the limit. Again, ruled that polyamorous relationships are entitled to the same legal protections as two-person unions. As highlighted by Reason on September 23rd, New York Civil Court Judge Karen May McDayan handed down her decision in West 49th Street, LLC versus O'Neill, which concerned roommates. There are three different roommates, Marcus O'Neill, Scott Anderson, and Anderson's husband, Robert. When Anderson died, the apartment company forbade O'Neill from renewing his lease because his name was not on it, and they did not recognize the two as any more than just roommates. Well, the court determined that deciding the case would require determining whether or not they were truly in a polyamorous relationship. The judge's opinion questioned at length the basis for limiting such recognized relationships to two people, citing support for her position in Obergefell versus Hodges. Why just two people? Why just two people? Why can't we have more? And that's exactly the route that the judge is going. LifeSiteNews.com talks also about Planned Parenthood profiting handsomely from transgender hormone therapy programs for children. On the front lines of mainstreaming gender ideology, the National Catholic Register reported that around 35,000 people have received hormone treatments at Planned Parenthood that now offers the drugs at 200 locations in 41 states. Truly amazing, folks. And someone said it was just very easy. You know, just a phone appointment and a person, they got exactly what they asked for. The writer, Jonathan Van Maren, says Planned Parenthood deals in death in despair and also gave the perspective, his perspective, that Planned Parenthood once again guilty of crimes against humanity. Truly troubling what's going on. Wisconsin Spotlight reporting UW Health. Dr. Catherine Gass specializes in gender affirmation surgery. According to hospital information, Dr. Gass will operate on minors with parental consent. That bit of concerning information first noted by Libs of TikTok, the conservative Twitter account that has exposed the worst of the far left. Libs of TikTok last week tweeted that UW Health advertises a gender program which offers a range of gender services for children, including puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries. According to an online post, Dr. Catherine Gast, M.D., is a fellowship-trained plastic surgeon specializing in gender affirmation surgery for transfeminine individuals. FirstLiberty.org reporting that they sent a demand letter to the University of Michigan Health, West and University of Michigan Health, on behalf of Valerie Klosterman, a physician assistant, terminated after she sought a religious accommodation from referring patients for sex-obscuring procedures and experimental drugs and from using biology-obscuring pronouns, saying it's bad medicine to force religious healthcare professionals to choose between their faith and their job, said Jordan Pratt from First Liberty. Valerie provides excellent medical care for every patient, but she cannot in good conscience refer patients for experimental drugs and procedures that violate both her religious convictions and her medical judgment. Truly amazing what's going on. She was fired by Michigan Health because she requested religious accommodation for her beliefs on gender. Not just her beliefs, folks. It is simple biology. The Daily Caller reports Oklahoma Children's Hospital will now stop performing certain gender medicine services on minors, OU Health told the Daily Caller in a statement on Tuesday. And we understand that the Oklahoma House of Representatives added restrictions Monday to special session legislation that would prevent Oklahoma Children's Hospital from performing gender surgeries on minors at any of its locations. Are you fans of Hallmark? Oh, all the Christmas Hallmark stories that will be coming out? Well, on LGBTQ Nation, they are reporting that the Hallmark Channel recently announced its 2022 lineup of original holiday movies, 40 in total, that will premiere along with countless others made for TV flicks airing around the clock on the network beginning October 21st. Among the new films, a first for Hallmark is a Christmas-themed film centered on a homosexual couple called The Holiday Sitter. Far from Christian, ladies and gentlemen, but a Christmas-themed film. Actually, far from the Christmas message as well, but centered on a homosexual couple called The Holiday Sitter. Washington Post is reporting Virgin Atlantic flight attendants, pilots, and workers on the ground no longer have to choose gendered uniform options, the British airline announced Wednesday. Starting immediately, employees will be able to wear the clothing that expresses how they identify or present themselves. The airline also started offering optional pronoun badges for staff members and customers and updated its ticketing system to better accommodate people who have selected gender-neutral options on their passport. Let's go to Spain. LifeSiteNews.com. In what seems to be an attempt to normalize pedophilia, the Spanish Minister of Equality now says that children should be allowed to engage in sexual acts as long as they provide consent. During a meeting of the Equality Commission of the Congress of Deputies in the Spanish Parliament last Wednesday, Irene Montero, the Minister of Equality, made comments on sex education for children, saying that children have the right to love or have sexual relations with whomever they like. Children have the right to know that they can love or have sexual relations with whomever they like as long as they are based on consent, adding that these are rights that need to be recognized. She and other statements talk about regardless of families, all have the right to know their bodies, to know that no adult can touch their bodies if they themselves do not want to, and to know that this is a form of violence. But you can love who you want to love. You can have a relationship as long as you give consent. Open the doors for pedophilia. Daily Signal is reporting Senator Rand Paul teaming up with a young woman who competed against Leah Thomas, a biologically male athlete who identifies as a transgender woman, to fight for the integrity of women's sports. Paul and University of Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines sat down for an interview with the Daily Signal on Wednesday afternoon to discuss the new 30-second TV ad in which Gaines protests against biological males and women's sports and praises Paul for fighting for fairness for women and girls. Well, not so in the Air Force, though. As LifeSiteNews.com reports, U.S. Air Force cadets are being taught to ditch gender-specific terms like mom, dad, boyfriend, girlfriend, for more inclusive words as the Biden administration pushes to incorporate woke racial and gender ideology into all facets of American life. Trainees at the United States Air Force Academy, just north of Colorado Springs, given the directions as part of a diversity and inclusion training, Fox News Digital reported. LifeSiteNews.com also reporting to us that moderate Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania has become the latest Republican senator to distance himself from the Democrats' Radical Respect for Marriage Act, further dampening hopes of the bill's passage. The Respect for Marriage Act, H.R. 8404, would enshrine same-sex marriage into federal law and require the federal government to recognize polygamy and other redefinitions of marriage if a state legalizes them. The bill passed the House in July with the unexpected support of 47 Republicans, and Senate Democrats have vowed to bring it up for a vote after the midterms. Yeah, it's going to happen, they say, during the lame duck session. The Hill is reporting that the Biden administration's sweeping effort to provide widespread student loan forgiveness for some Americans will cost about $400 billion. $400 billion. The Congressional Budget Office said 43 million borrowers shared $1.6 trillion in federal student loan debt as of June 30th. Under Biden's plan, about $430 billion of that debt would be wiped out the reporting shows. And the Washington Stand saying that six state attorneys general on yesterday, filed a legal challenge to the Biden administration's move to cancel student loan debt for millions of Americans across the country. This is led by the Arkansas Attorney General. And then we have the attorneys general of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and South Carolina sued in a Missouri federal court for an immediate temporary restraining order pausing the student loan debt relief plan that President Biden announced last month. Well, friends, even the White House press corps is realizing that Joe Biden isn't making sense. President Biden had perhaps one of his worst moments this past Wednesday in that he repeatedly called for Representative Jackie Walkorski at an event, despite how the congresswoman was killed early last month in a car accident. Biden himself even acknowledged her death at the time, signed a declaration. Flags were flown at half staff. But here he was asking for her at his recent speech. Okay, this from Western Journal. A volunteer election worker in Michigan facing two felony counts after allegedly inserting a personal USB drive into a precinct computer during the August 2nd primary. Kent County Prosecutor Chris Becker announced Wednesday that he has charged James Donald Hochebauer with falsifying election records and using a computer to commit a crime in the incident. Reuters reported if convicted of the charges, he could face up to 9 years in prison. Coming to us from West Bend Daily News, the Washington County Executive Committee voted to upgrade the county's election management system and do a full recount of select state and federal elections during their meeting on Wednesday. What we're looking at doing is beginning to program all of our elections here in-house rather than contracting with an outside source. I believe it's been Dominion Voting Systems, as we have in the past, said the Waukesha County Clerk Ashley Reichert. The committee voted unanimously to approve the use of up to $75,000 in strategic priority funds to upgrade the county's election system management software, and voted on during a full recount by hand of the governor, lieutenant governor, U.S. Senator election in the general election coming up on November 8th. Just the News reporting with the bulk coming from Cook County and Chicago, more than 463,000 vote-by-mail ballots could be in the mix for Illinois' November 8th election, delaying election outcomes by up to 2 weeks. Along with early voting beginning Thursday, that would be yesterday in Illinois, local officials are sending out requested vote-by-mail ballots. Illinois Board of Elections spokesman Matt Dietrich said that the mail-in ballots will take up to 2 weeks to count after the polls close on November the 8th. Okay, this from the Epoch Times. The parent company of Facebook and Instagram said on September 27th that it disrupted a Chinese influence operation seeking to interfere with the upcoming U.S. midterm elections. Meta Platforms said that it had dismantled the China-based campaigns, which targeted users in the U.S. with political content in an apparent effort to polarize voters. The China-based network maintained fake accounts across Meta's social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram, as well as its competitor, Twitter. Friends, there's much more going on here in the news, but I do want to open the phone lines here for our final segment today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And if you want to weigh in on any of these stories or other current events, issues, we welcome you to do so. 800-733-9829. By the way, we told the story of Mark Houck, the one who had been surrounded by FBI agents at his house and arrested. He has pleaded not guilty to bogus charges from the Biden administration that he violated the FACE Act. And we understand as a condition of his release from custody, he had to surrender firearms and his passport as well. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Do we really understand the worldview war that's taking place? Do we really understand the fact that the number one enemy of the federal government, by their own admission now, has become white, Christian, and constitutional-loving men? They are now deemed to be domestic terrorists. potential domestic terrorist, intolerant. They're said to be suffering from a psychological problem known as toxic masculinity. Why the war on such men? If you want to carry out a successful revolution in a nation, you must first make sure you have no opposition. And if you do, you take it away. These men are the opposition to a Marxist revolution in America, and they are being disparaged and ridiculed in such a way that they cannot be leaders if people conform to the politically correct way of thinking. Let's be aware of the worldview war against men.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, Governor Newsom signed 13 abortion bills in the last day, including an infanticide bill. Horrible, even allowing nurse practitioners to perform first trimester abortions without the supervision of a physician. Eliminates out-of-pocket costs for abortions. Prohibits state law enforcement from complying with out-of-state abortion investigations. Horrible legislation that he signed. And the Biden's Veterans Administration has now committed its first abortion since promising to ignore state laws protecting the unborn. Our lines are packed here. Let's go right to them. We're going to begin in, well, let's take this caller first. From Birmingham over in the UK, Robert, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jim. And just a quick aside, if I'd phoned in during the share-a-thon, I'd have said how much I appreciate Brad Canterbury with the Bible reading.
Great.
But to get to my point now, you said about the attacks on the new Prime Minister of Italy.
Yes.
And comparing her to Mussolini and so on. Our new Prime Minister here in Britain, Liz Truss, who seems at last to be a genuine Conservative, although with different language being used, she is coming in very much for attacks on her policies, which somewhat copy what Margaret Thatcher did and could well rescue Britain's economy and put us back on track for prosperity again.
Mm. Well, it's tremendous. I mean, that's quite a sea change for the country there, Robert. And I know that this is a position change that's going to be welcomed by many.
Yes, I think she may be attempting to wean the country off socialism, but people are so used to being feather-bedded by various handouts.
Yeah.
And so on, that there's tremendous opposition, and there is a petition which has been put on the Parliament website, and if it gets enough votes, Parliament are obliged to debate it, calling for an immediate general election to sort out the chaos. Well, the chaos is what's going on in the currency markets around the world, because the USA has put up interest rates, the dollar has gone up a bit, and every currency around the world has dropped.
Robert, thank you for the call here today.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Schneider. I just want to comment briefly on the student loan debt forgiveness. When I matriculated at the University of Wisconsin, I originally majored in psychology because that was my true passion. I wanted to be a therapist. Unfortunately, I had difficulty getting enough practicum and laboratory sessions. So what I did is I switched over to public administration because they had this loan forgiveness for people in public service. Well, it turns out, Jim, that I ended up in these menial jobs after college. Shelf stocker, cheese packer, you name it. And I did not get that forgiveness until after President Biden authorized this latest forgiveness. So that's just my anecdote here. Feel free to comment as you wish.
Well, I don't know what are you saying as far as your opinion. Are you applauding this debt that he's passing on to the American taxpayer?
Okay. What I believe is it would have been cheaper to guarantee a professional job tryout for recent graduates. It would have been cheaper to go that route.
Okay.
As opposed to what he's doing right now.
Okay. Thank you for the comments here. Let's go next to Kathy in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah. I wondered if you were aware of the fact that the governor of Tennessee has made a proclamation for the state of Tennessee.
Yes, that was our first story today.
Oh, okay. I knew I'd heard it, but I didn't know where. I think that's, we need some good news.
Oh, indeed. And that's why I shared at the very top story today that that proclamation that he issued for Tennessee is just amazing, calling for a day of prayer, humility, and fasting.
Yep.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. As I listen to the news, my heart just gets broken. It just does, because the Bible said that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. It says in Noah's day, the men corrupted themselves. It is so sad. Oh, that this nation would repent, that they would want to see how we look to the real wonderful God of love, and that he created male and female, marriage between a male and a female for a lifetime. It is so sad to see this nation go the way it's going, as well as the world. But, oh, I just can't say it enough. It is so sad. May God have mercy, and may those who call themselves Christians not be lukewarm. God help us. I know I am. I examine my heart. I'm almost 77. I don't know when I'm going to die. And I want to be ready, looking the way God wants me to look, with that wonderful garment. Just think, unspotted, no blemish, no wrinkle, or any such thing. That's who's going to be a part of the bride.
Amen. God bless you, Alice. Thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. God bless you, Alice. Thank you for your call from Arkansas here today. And friends, I trust that that sentiment that Alice expressed there would be your sentiment as well, and to certainly be unspotted from this world. I mean, we need to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 John chapter 3 that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Oh, there is such a move across this world today to conform to the growing secularism of our time. I mean, when you have heads, diversity ministers, even calling out for children to have sexual relationships, whoever they choose to give consent to, and then also to see the judiciary that is looking at polyamorous relationships and comparing that even to marriage and the rights of marriage as well. Friends, we've got trouble here in this nation. And I agree with the Tennessee governor. We must turn back to God. We must turn to him. And again, we commend him for such a proclamation. Well, friends, our time is gone here today on Crosstalk. We thank you for calling in. We thank you for listening each and every day here to the program. We've got some great interviews lined up next week. Alex Newman is scheduled to be back with us. Tom DeWeese is scheduled to be with us. Michael Letts is scheduled to be with us. And more information coming your way here on Crosstalk. And we appreciate your prayers. And friends, be praying for our nation. Be praying for our churches. And by the way, the Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.